we're so busy and cumbered in our minds. And I have to say that I am so grateful for you ladies this morning. Because even though you're just as busy and probably busier than any group of women has ever been on the face of the earth, because you've been squeezed into a mold many times of wearing many more hats than maybe you were intended to wear, the fact of the matter is that God has given you a capacity to feel deeply things. And it is because of that that our world is made a softer place. And I just want to applaud you in my heart this morning, because I know that you are the reason that many of our guys are here. Because some of you had a heart that just chased after God. And because you did that, some of your children are in the kingdom. Rhonda came up to me this morning. I asked her, did you hear anything? She said, yeah, Dad got saved yesterday. And it's because Rhonda began to step out. And then she began to invite the family. And her husband got saved not long after that. And Brett got saved not long after that. She didn't know I was going to pick on her this morning. But do you want to come up and give a word of that? No, I'm not going to do that here. It was a blessing. And for some of you, you're still fighting the fight. I know Tracy also with Brother Matt. She was kind of chasing God, and Matt got saved. And I'm telling you, folks, our women are our spiritual conservatives and our country's trouble. I've been saying that the last several weeks, but our country really is in a bad situation right now. But I thank you for you ladies who are still looking for Jesus, still chasing Him. Because without you, we'd all be hard and cold and miserable. And many families are like that because the women are not soft and sensitive like they once were years ago. Well, I want to introduce you this morning to a lady who was a godly mother. Her name is Hannah. If you want to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, you can do so to the book of 1 Samuel. Here was a woman who wanted to be a mother. Many people today don't want to be mothers. They would rather do anything but be a mother. But this woman knew that her heart would never be fully fulfilled until she was able to have a child. Interestingly enough, her husband had two wives, and Peninnah had a ton of children, it would seem, and here's poor Hannah had none, and it was sort of a situation that really made her ache and agonize. She had tried everything you could imagine. I mean, there were certain things like mandrakes and things like that that they did use in that day to try to facilitate the reproductive situation. They were always wanting, women always wanted to have children. It's interesting today, we don't want to have children for the same reason. Many times today, women want to have children because they must have them because it's what you're supposed to do, and once I get them and I'll put them on the back seat and I'll strap them in, but I'm going on with life and they're just kind of hanging on. And that's unfortunate. That is not the disposition of a godly mother, okay? That is the disposition of a worldly mother. A mother that is, in fact, in some way, sense, or form, seems like she just needs all the props to make herself look good. It's like a little check mark on your sneakers, all right? A lot of people treat children like that today. They just got to have them because they got to have them. They don't have one, they need to have one. I'm sorry, but that is not what God intended. A godly mother understands that these children that God gives them have the ability to reach far beyond their reach. In other words, they can exceed their mother's grasp. You see, for God created in the beginning male and female, and He gave them certain roles. And in those roles, the roles of a mother was profound, but it was easy to miss. Because upon inspection, it almost looked like she was somehow in the shadow of a man who many times didn't get it. Who many times didn't chase God or even have much of a relationship with God. But the fact of the matter is, God makes no mistakes. He wired women like He wired them, and for a reason. He wired them as He wired them so they could care. So they could care for us men who need help. We do. The Bible says it out of the gate, if you ever want to know about that. It says, God saw that man was alone. He says, it's not good that man be alone. So I'll make him a helper. We needed some help. And I know you women said that your husband, man, you need help. You've said it many times. You need help. Well, yeah, you're the helper. And you're to make them to succeed. I like this idea. You ever heard of somebody say, man, what do we got in this room? We got some mutual admiration society. You ever heard somebody say those words, a mutual admiration? Yeah, that's what a marriage is supposed to be. I saw my wife walking down the aisle up here at Meyer the other day, and I just go, wow. She smiled and she says, oh, And I go all back. Because I got what I wanted. She said, boy, you look handsome today. I said, well, thank you. You know, it's funny because we don't realize what we've got in that marriage. But, you know, for women, they just need a little encouragement and they light up. Men need a whole bunch. It's true. Men are always needed to be encouraged. Because we're out there trying to fight the fight, make the living, do whatever in the world. And I know many of you ladies are out there too, but you have a capacity that God has given you to take care of yourself, take care of others, and take care of things. It's just amazing. But a little encouragement goes a long way from us men. Hannah was a woman who was living in the shadow of Peninnah, her cohort in this day where there was multiple wives, and she was beloved of her husband, and yet it wasn't enough just to have the love of her husband. She wanted to have a child too. Because somehow having a child would have made her life complete. But she chased all of the things that you would chase to find out how to have a kid and came to the end of herself. And in chapter 1 of 2 Samuel, we find out she goes to the temple. She begins to cry out to God. The priest says, are you drunk? Because she was so beside herself. And she says, no, I'm a woman of broken spirit. I just want a child. And he says, in apologizing, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to misthink this. He says, the Lord will give you what you've asked. And she went away happy because somehow this man, by prophecy or whatever, said she was going to get her petition. She goes away and had promised, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And we know that when she had a child, that child's name was Samuel. And Samuel, in fact, becomes the great leader of Israel during a time when the judges' age was so desperate. Well, once she got her child, she began to sing. I don't know if any of you ladies sing at home. I hope you do, because you should. In the air, you say, well, I can't sing. Sing anyway, with or hum. But really, the fact is that when you sing, you're singing because maybe there's no other way to express what you're feeling. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you in this room probably have written songs. My wife wrote a song not long ago. Guitar, and I put it to music, and she's like, well, now I got to learn. Teach me how to play the guitar, because she wants to play her song. But it's her own song, and it's her own song to the Lord. And for some of you, you've written a poem, maybe for your girl, or for a guy, or maybe about your kids. And some of you are very poetic. But the fact is that when we sing, it's because we don't have any other way to react to how we're feeling. And this is the way she was. She had a baby. His name was Samuel. And her husband tells her, you know, do with this child as you see fit. And, you know, you got to be real careful when you tell your wife that. Okay. Do with the child as you see fit. Little joke, but real good. Anyway, the fact is, he said, do whatever you want. And she says, well, I've devoted him to the Lord, and so when he's weaned, I'm going to take him up to the temple, and I'm going to leave him there. The neat thing, Samuel's story is just amazing. I mean, he's a little four-year-old running around the temple in an ephod. He's got his little outfit on. He's running around. And God shows up and he starts telling him, go tell this guy over here, Eli, that he's going to go down because his sons are out of control. That's crazy. I mean, but this kid that God gave to a woman whose heart was bleeding for a child ended up making an impact unlike any other before him. Chapter 2 is where we get her prayer, which is really poetic in its nature. It's a song. It's a prayer. And this is what it says. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him, actions are weighed. Now, her song continues down to verse 10. But what I want you to see is three things about this woman's heart that distinguishes her as a godly woman. You might want to take these down. I'll give them to you now, and I'll give them as I go through. First of all, a godly mother finds joy in God's design. She's not trying to look at the world and try to find out what Oprah thinks a woman ought to be like. She's looking at God. And she's saying, God, what do you think? And what is your design? And she rejoices in God's design. The second thing is a godly mother understands God's determination. She understands it intimately, and you'll see why in a moment. And thirdly, a godly mother anticipates God's goodness. I hope you're anticipating it, because God wants you to anticipate it. That's what faith is all about. Faith is not a hope-so. A faith is a no-so anticipation of a good outcome. That's what real faith is. Biblical faith is a no-so anticipation of a good outcome. These first three verses give us our first heading. A godly mother finds joy in God's design. It says that she rejoices. And you know, rejoicing's a good thing. We always like it when our wives are rejoicing. We always like it when our wives are happy. That's a good thing. We want to make them happy. Don't you ever find yourself, fellas, sometimes you're sitting at home and your wife will say, you know, really, I really would like to have a garden out back. And you just sat down. And you think, oh, so much difficulty. Maybe she wants a new picture in the living room. Or maybe she wants to break out a wall. And you're just sitting there thinking, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I mean, this is just the way it is in the family. But you know what happens? Ladies, give it a second to stew. All right? Don't react to his initial reaction. His reaction is all carnal. Come on, you don't want that. Stew, and many of you women have learned this by wisdom, that if you will let it stew many times, a guy will finally be out there hunting, figuring out, and fixing. And she'll find herself one day waking up, and there it is. Because the fact is that we want to make our wives happy. Deep down. We're all romantics at heart. We just don't look like it. We still got our knuckles and dragon and our club behind us. But we're working it out, all right? The fact of the matter is that we love to see you smile. We love to see you happy. And men yearn to make that possible. Every man needs a battle to fight and a beauty to win. You're the beauty. You're the one in his life, and he will try to make you happy. So just give it time, mention it, and walk away. You know, You might shoot yourself in the foot if you don't. Can I get an amen? All right, so you're all with me. We all know this world, okay? The fact is that this woman in verse 1 says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. So when mom says, let's go to church, fellas, you pack up the car. And she's going to be enthralled by the fact. It wins her. It melts her. It makes her think, man, this is great. He's doing this for me. He may not want to go. By the way, I hope if you don't want to go, when you get here, you're glad you came. That says something about your heart. You know, we just need a little help. Sometimes we'll help getting out the door. But the fact is once we get there, we find God's all good. He is. Our wives see it maybe first. Just like sometimes some guy comes around selling something. Or some person you're hanging out with, she says, you know what, that guy's probably not a good guy to be around. And you're like, well, what? What's wrong with Jimmy? Jimmy is my friend. She feels it, she senses it. Give her a little bit of credit there, because sometimes they know. We call it intuition. But the fact is, she's caring about her family. And if she sees somebody who's threatening her family on the side, she gets a little concerned. It makes her unsecure. And you know your job, man? Is to help her be secure. Women are insecure by nature. Follow the scripture throughout, beginning Genesis to Revelation. Why? Because the women, they're insecure because they got 15 things in their mind at the same time. You know, I miss a turn if I'm looking for something down in front of me. I used to be really good at finding my way around. I got into the ministry, I can't find myself out of a paper bag. Got too many things on my mind. And the fact is women can. And because they've got 15 things on their mind, their tendency is to be insecure. And they need your big, strong arms to come around them and say, focus, it's okay. We'll handle this. And you begin to be their protector. You begin to sow into their lives security. Her husband tried to do it. He couldn't do it. But he gave her full reign over what was going on with the baby. And because of that, she found a reason to rejoice. My heart rejoices where? In the Lord. Women have a capacity for this in ways men don't. Many times men think they're not as spiritual as women because their women seem to be all, for God. Give you a little heads up, ladies. Praying, going to church, reading your Bible and all that is great. Do it with all that in you is. But don't forget this, your number one calling. is to be your husband's helper. That's the number one. So real spirituality is not seen in all those things if you're doing all those things and you're hating him or hurting him or circumventing him. Think about that for a minute. Biblically, the role of a wife is to be support staff. She's the major to his colonel, Jesus being the general. She is supposed to be there as the cheerleader. You know, have you ever seen a guy in cheerleading? It's kind of weird. But they do it. Ronald Reagan, great president of our time, he was a yell leader. They don't even call him cheerleader. They're a yell leader. Okay, well, that's a little more manly. But just talk about seeing a guy run around in a skirt. No. Basically, it's kind of weird. When women are out, woo, and they're shaking those pom-poms and jumping up and down and doing summer, we're like, yeah! We won't know that the linebacker's coming. We're looking at the cheerleaders. You know? Because you can do that.